Today's daf is Chulin Daf Test. Today's shiur is sponsored by the Bookbinder family, Lizecha Nishmas, Mrs. Ruth Simon, Aleha Shalom, Rachel Perel Bas Avram, who was an outstanding contributor to local yeshiva, South Shore, May, and many other Mostos HaTorah, the Neshama Shnev and Aliyah, from the Zuchus of our learning. We are holding at Va'amar of Yudah Amar Rav, about 10 lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Ches Amud Beis, and the Gemara is going to talk about the requirement of having different kalim to rinse meat and fats if a person is a shochet, in order to avoid any potential problems of forbidden fats coming in contact with the meat or affecting the kashrus of the meat. Then the Gemara is going to go on to discuss those topics that a Talmud Chacham is required to know, that there are certain things that there are that would be considered major holes in a Talmud Chacham's knowledge if a Talmud Chacham didn't have these bits of knowledge. So we're going to discuss three and then three more, potentially six things that a Talmud Chacham has to know. And once we're on the topic of what a Talmud Chacham has to know, we're talking about Shechita, we're also going to talk about what a Shochet has to know, how a Shochet, even if he shechts with a steady hand, has to be familiar with Hilchos Shechita, and we're going to identify the five basic halachos of Shechita, and then we're going to say that the Shochet has to check the Simanim after the Shechita, but it's a machlokas, what if he doesn't? If he didn't check the Simanim after the Shechita, so to see that they were severed properly, so is the, what's the status of the animal? Does it have a din like a nevela, or like a trefa? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to deal with the well-known concept of chamira sakanta me isura, that we treat sakana more seriously than we do isur, and the Gemara is going to try to identify the source of that concept, that chamira sakanta me isura. Where do we derive such a concept from? So let's begin. Daf Ches Amud Beis. Again, we are holding at Va'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So this is the second statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. First one we had yesterday, how a tabach requires shlosha sakinin. I think we did that yesterday. The one that he shechts with, one that he cuts meat with, and one that he is mechatich b'chalavim. And now we're going to go on to the second statement of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, second of three statements of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and then we're going to have two of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Va'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, hatabach tzor Shnei kelim shel mayim. A butcher requires two kelim of water with which to rinse things. Echad shemadiach bo basar, one within which to rinse meat. Ve'echad shemadiach bo chalavim, and the other to rinse the chalev. Says the Gemara, v'niskan lechadav v'nadiach bo basar v'hadar nadiach bo chalavim. Why doesn't he just have one kli with water in it to rinse things off, and just do it in the right order? First rinse off the basar, and then you can rinse off the chalev, and then you don't have to worry about the potential chalev, the time of the chalev getting into the basar, or the mamashas of the chalev attaching itself to the basar, because when you're using it to rinse off basar, there's not going to be any chalev yet in the water. Gzeira shem yadiyah chalavim v'achar kach basar. No, we're concerned that you might get confused and you might do it in the reverse order. If you look at Rashi, shem yadiyah chalavim, tchila, you might do the chalev first. You are mayim mifu tamos minasham nunis alidei shiv shavayadayim, and the water is now going to be saturated with the fat that came off of the chalev because you were scrubbing the chalev, you were rubbing the chalev while it was in the water. V'avagav shutzonin, even though it's all cold, so there's no nesinas tam, but some of the mamashos is going to be there. V'achkach yidbak b'defanos abasar, and that mamashos is going to adhere to the basar. V'avagav shein nivlabo nidbak ho mibachutz, nidbak ho mibachutz. Even though the dinim of blios don't apply over here, it's not going to be absorbed in it like a transference of tam, but it's actually going to be stuck on the surface of the basar. That's our concern. Okay, but now you're going to require two tubs of water. Isn't there a concern you might mix up the two tubs of water for each other and accidentally put the basar in the tub of water within which you're supposed to be rinsing chelev, or you have rinsed chelev? Now, once there is a requirement for two of them, then there's an automatic hecker, because that's an unusual thing, meaning on a practical level, there's really no, on a physical practical level, had it not been for halacha, there would be no need for two separate kelim with to rinse these things. So obviously, you have two separate kelim, one for basa, one for chalev. That's going to be an immediate hecker, that you better make sure that what's going right. We mentioned at the very end of yesterday's shir that the Raman, Simon Peites, says that when you have two separate knives, it's important to be misamin one of them, that you're supposed to mark off what one of them is. He says the minhag Yisrael is that we mark the milchig knife as, so if you have a mark on only one of them, I guess they hadn't yet thought of blue and red, you know, different colors for milchig and fleishig, so they would just have a mark on one type of item, and that was the minhag, that they would only mark the milchig one. But the point is that you have two of something, and then you make it in such a way where it's clear which is which. Amar Amem Rishmei Rav Papa, Lo Lischof Inish Kafli Ilave Bisra, Didoiv Tarba Ubala Bisra, that a person should be careful when he takes the sides of the animal, the flanks of the animal, that have a lot of meat on it, but they also have certain chalev that needs to be cut off of it because the chalev is aser, you shouldn't put that on top of other meat because the chalev is going to drip down on the meat and it's going to affect the kashrus of the meat. But wait, shouldn't we be concerned even if you don't put it on top of other meat, you just put it right side up, it's going to affect the meat that's on the flanks itself? Says karma mafsik mitasai. No, there's a membrane that's mafsik between the meat and that's underneath it, between the meat and the chalev. Yeah, but on the top also, even if you flip it the other way, there is also a membrane that's mafsik between them. Now, I did mashmisha yada detavcha miftach, because the tabach, the butcher, is going to rub it with his hand, we're afraid that membrane is going to break open, and therefore it's not going to separate the chalev from the meat, so we have to be very careful that the chalev not affect the meat. So that's the concern. The Tosos points out on the bottom Tosos, Lo Lischa Finish Kafli Lave Bisra Hainu La Achar Nituach Miyad. This is talking about right after you cut apart the animal, Kodem Shenitztanin Abasar, before the meat has cooled down. But once it's already cooled down, then we're not concerned that the chalev is going to affect the meat, because you can just rinse it off. You're going to rinse off the meat anyway before you cook it, so it's going to be fine. But it's when there's heat involved, when there's still a little bit of heat left over from the shechita and the butchering of the meat, that's when we're concerned that the chalev is going to affect the meat. And now the final statement of Rav Yudom Rav. Talmud Chacham Tzorach Sheyilmod Gimel Dvarim. There are three things, three topics that a Talmud Chacham needs to learn, needs to be familiar with. Ksav, Shechita, Umila. He needs to be familiar with Ksav, Shechita, and Mila. So Rashi writes that when we talk about being familiar with Shechita and Mila, it doesn't just mean that he should know the halachos of Shechita and Mila, it means la'aminis yadav, that he should be familiar with how to do it. I know even ad hayom, Sfardim won't give smicha unless they could do shechita, or at least in YU they didn't. Rabben Chaim wouldn't give smicha unless the person knew how to shecht, and he actually did shechitos with people. Marshal explains Rashi that why does it have to? How do you know that? Maybe it just means the halachos of shechita and mila. So the Marshal says no, because that's obvious. Of course, he has to be a baki in all the halachos in the Torah. Afilu b'masech. Talmud Chacham has to be a baki, and that's what the Gemara says in Shabbos of Kuf Yudalit. So Rabbi Yehuda doesn't have to tell me that he has to be a baki in Hilchos Ksiva Stam and Hilchos Shechita and Hilchos Mila. So it must mean that he has to know how to do all of these things in Ksiva, Shechita, and Mila. He has to actually be capable of doing practicing all of these things. So the Gemara goes on to say Rav Chananya Bar Shlamya Mishmei D'Rav Amar Af Kesher Shel. Av Kesher Shel Tefillin, Ubirchas Chasanim Vetzitzis. Three more things. Kesher Shel Tefillin he has to know how to do, Birchas Chasanim, and Tzitzis. V'idach, and the first opinion will say, we don't have to mention that, because Hani Shechichan. Those things are very common. So a couple of things over here. First of all, just identifying what these things are. There's a beautiful sefer that we once spent a whole shavuos going through many of the items in the sefer called Omer Hashichcha, Omer with an Aleph, and what it essentially does is it goes through all of the halachos and shas that somehow didn't make it into Rambam or Shulchan Aruch. and why these halachos are not in Rambam or Shulchan Aruch. So in Omer HaShichcha, he discusses this halacha. It doesn't say anywhere in Hilchos Talmud Torah that in order to be a Talmud Chacham, you need to know these six items. Yet it seems like a halacha mufarashas in the Gemara. So he just points out that it's not mentioned in halacha, but the discussion surrounding these items are what they even mean. Rashi writes that what does it mean that he has to be Baki and Ksav? That he has to know how to sign his name if he sits in a Beis Din, or he has to testify and he has to be an aide on a shtar or something. He has to know how to sign his name correctly. So the Yamshel Shlomo writes that Pshita Shiyach Lachtam. Come on, a Talmud Chacham doesn't know how to write. He doesn't know how to sign his name. I mean, that would be absurd if you'd have someone who would even be in the running to be a Talmud Chacham who didn't know how to sign his name. That can't be what it means. So says the Yamshel Shlomo. No, it means that he knows how to write Shalos and Tshuvas. He knows how to write up Piskei Din. He knows how to write in a clear and concise way, even a Gerish Shlomim, that he knows how to communicate via Ksav, because that's a very important way for a Talmid Chacham to be able to communicate. Sometimes you have people who are fantastic speakers, but they're terrible writers, or vice versa, so a person has to be very good at communicating. What about, shouldn't the Talmid Chacham have to be an excellent speaker? Shouldn't he have to be able to communicate orally, verbally, not just with Ksav? So that's a different Gemara. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that that's how they would issue smicha, that what we call smicha, heter ra'a, that one was not allowed to issue any piskei halacha unless they tested that he knew how to communicate, that he knew how to communicate in a clear way. That's what the Gemara says, that there was such a thing when they heard of a certain Talmud Chacham who gave the misimpression to an entire community that may bitsayim, that swamp waters are not machshir l'kabel tuma. And they didn't realize that he was trying to say may beitzim, but he was an ineffective communicator. People didn't understand what he was saying. So that so this is like the flip side of that, that in addition to being able to communicate through speech, he has to be able to communicate through ksav. That's what the Yamshel Shlomo says. The Rashash writes that it means that he has to be able to write with a nice handwriting in order that people should be able to read it. That it's not so much the style of his prose, but rather the actual writing itself has to be something that people should easily be able to read. In Yalkut Me'am Loes, he says that when a Talmud Chacham knows this melach of Ksivas Chidushei Torah, Tir Bahadas Yisrael Ledoros Habayim, that there is a premium place specifically on being able to write Svarim. Because very often a person is an influential Talmud Chacham and he's able to teach a lot of Torah, but then another generation passes and he's completely forgotten about, even though he was very respected and was able to do a lot in his own generation, because there's nothing left. There's nothing left from it afterwards. So that's the emphasis on writing Chidushei Torah. I've been amongst Gedolei HaRabbanim who've discussed, who've struggled with this. Like, how much effort should they put into being Marbitz Torah in the classical way of saying Shiurim, and how much effort should they put into their Svarim? So different people have different attitudes, but everyone agrees there should be some balance between them. The question is exactly how to achieve that balance. So now that's one thing over here. Another thing, we mentioned Kesher Shel Tefillin. So Tosfos points out over here the Ida Chani Shchichan. So let's see, how should we say Hani Shchichan is really big machlokas Rishonim. What Hani Shchichan means? Rashi writes that Tefillin, Tzitzis, Birchas Chasanim, these come up all the time. You don't need any limud because these are just the kinds of things that are Maisim B'chol Yom. That's what a Talmud Chacham deals with on a daily basis. So you don't need to make a point of emphasis that this is something that a Talmud Chacham has to know. The Ramban and the Ran say that Ksav, Shchita, and Mila are also things that come up all the time. Nevertheless, that very often the Talmud Chacham is not the one that's doing it. They appoint a sofer who's doing the ksav, they have a shochet who's doing the shchita, they have a moel who's doing the mila. So even though, yes, they're very common, but it's rare that the Talmud Chacham is one that's doing it, and that's why we have to identify these things as something that a Talmud Chacham has to be careful to learn. But when it comes to tefillin, tzitzis, birchas chasanim, not only are they common, but Talmid Chacham are the ones that are actively engaged in them, and that's why it's unnecessary, according to that first daya, to mention those those things, those final three. Tosos and the Rush, however, say that tefillin and tzitzis he doesn't have to learn because they're mitsuyim l'knosa muchanim. You can always, meaning it's not that they're so common and therefore obviously he knows them. No, hani shchicha means that you can always find kosher tefillin. You just go to a store, go to a sofer, and you'll get kosher tefillin. Meaning it's not something that a Talmud Chacham is ever going to really need to know because they're always available to people. And you'll always find people who know the Birchas Chasanim. You'll find a Chazan who knows five different tunes of how to sing the Birchas Chasanim. So it's not something that the Talmud Chacham is ever going to be put on the spot where it's necessary that he knows. Tosu Menachos quotes Rabbi Natam that what the Gemara means to say, V'idach HaNishchichan, is really going on the Ksav Shchita and Mila are Shchichan. Meaning, why is it that the first Shita only said Ksav Shchita and Mila and didn't say these other things? So all the other Rishonim said, because these other things are Shchiach, and therefore it's unnecessary to say them. No, says Tosu Menachos, Ksav Shchita and Mila are more Shchiach, and therefore they're more important for a Talmud Chacham to know. But Aratos says an important halachic point over here. He says, what the Kesher Shel Tefillin that we mentioned over here, that the Talmud Chacham has to know. So says Tosfos, Kida Amar Tefillin Bei Bar Chavu Mishkach Shchichi, that you can always find Tefillin, Mikan Medaktik Rabbeinu Tam, De'ein tzarech likshor b'kol yom tefillin kishamanichan. That apparently we see from here that every day when you put on your tefillin shel rosh, you don't need to undo the knot and shel yad. You don't need to undo the knot and retie the knot. Sharbeinu Eliyahu he matzruch l'koshon v'tkamer v'akomet rabbi tefillin meimusay v'arech lehen mishas anachav v'yad shas kshira. Rabbeinu Eliyahu held that every day you have to untie the knot of your tefillin when you take it off and retie it when you put it on. Because when the Gemara identifies the right time to say the brach of tefillin, it says from the time you place it on your body till the time of kshira, which makes it sound like there's an actual kshira of tefillin. A little bit of time nearer the kshira hainu hiduk. No, kshira over there doesn't mean tying it. It means fastening it. It means tightening the tefillin. Shemahadko saviv rosho kavoshli kshura bo kshura bo kekelev. Kshura very often just means that which connects to, as opposed to an actual kesher. Di kshira mamish v'chiv b'chol yom yelichet zal bar chavu. Meaning, what are we saying over here? That the Kesher Shel Tefillin, you can go to Bar Chavu. There's a guy that knows. So every single day, you had to, the whole community lined up at his door and had their tefillin tied by him? It can't be. V'od, d'brei shamotzi tefillin mashma, d'asur l'kshar Kesher Shel Tefillin, b'shabbos, mishum d'havi, Kesher Shel Kayama. Tying tefillin on Shabbos is asur. Why? It's a Kesher Shel Kayama. Well, what defines a Kesher Shel Kayama? Something that you tie in is meant to stay. But if every time you tie your tefillin, it's meant to stay for less than 24 hours, because if Shacharis ends at 7:40 or 7:30, and you're only going to put on your tefillin 6:55 tomorrow morning, that's less than 24 hours every single time. So that's how the Kesher Shel Kayama. The Kamrina, forget it, not, it's only on for 35 minutes, right? It's not, right? It's only on during the time of Shacharis itself, and then you untie it, so it's never a Kesher Shel Kayama. Okay, in the times of the Gemara, they didn't just wear it Shacharis, they wore it all day long, but still, every night they would take it off, so it's not a Kesher Shel Kayama. So it can't be. So that's what Tosa says. That's what we base ourselves on when we do not tie our tefillin against the shita of Rabbeinu Eliyahu. Now, knowing what is the Kesher Shel Tefillin, so Rashi writes that the Kesher Shel Tefillin Shel Rosh, what does it mean that a Talmud Chacham has to know Af Kesher Shel Tefillin? He says it has to know how to make the Kesher Shel Tefillin in the proper tzura, which is the letter Dalid, and together with the shin that's Chakuk in the sides of the tefillin Shel Rosh, and together with the Yud in the Tefillin Shel Yad, it makes out the name of Shakai, and that's one of the Shemos Hashem, and that's why the Psak Halach is that the Tefillin Shel Rosh has greater Kedusha than the Tefillin Shel Yad, because the Tefillin Shel Rosh has two of the three letters of that Shem Hashem. But Rashi says clearly it's about the letter Dalid in the Kesher, that's how you make the Kesher. Mishnah Berurah, however, quotes that there are some people that make the Kesher more shaped like a Mem Stuma, like a Mem Sofit. How's that allowed? I thought you need the shame shakai. So he said, no, it looks like a mem. It's really a dalit and an upside down dalit next to each other. So it's two dalits that form a mem. So it's all the letter dalit. And the Sefer Teferis Aryeh in the Tshuva Me'ava, they say that those who make the kesher b'tzuras dalit is more mechuvan lahalacha. It's more correct lahalacha. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Shachter used to tell us that Rav Salvechik would never tell people to change their minhag about anything. sitting, but they would always, except for the Kesher Shel Tefillin, I think sitting in Sukkah Shmini Atzeres, it was one, and the other is Kesher Shel Tefillin. That was the only thing he told people to change their minhag, whether to change, if I recall correctly, from the mem to the dalet, I'm not 100% sure, but I think that he thought that the mem was incorrect and the dalet is more correct, but I'm not 100% sure. But lemaisa, people don't change their minhag. They follow. You do see sometimes, though, a father and a son sitting right next to each other in shul, where one has the mem, one has the dalet, because they just didn't know to ask the sofer, and they just did whatever the sofer gave them. So a lot of times people are not, they're not familiar enough to ask the important questions. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. We're 6 lines into the page. Vam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Tesa Medal, Vam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol Tabach Shein Yodeh Hilchu Shchita, Asur Lechol Mishchita. So if you have a butcher who doesn't know Hilchu Shchita, you're not allowed to eat from his Shchita. In terms of what's considered, what the status of the meat, when a guy didn't know Hilchos Shechita, shechted, seems to be machlokas between the Rambam and the Taz. The Rambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Shechita writes, Yisraeli she'en yodeh chamisha dvarim shemafsidin es ha-shechita v'shachat beino levein atzmo. If you have someone who doesn't know the 5 basic halachos of Shechita and he shechts with no one watching him, asur lechol mishchita so lohuv lo acherim. Neither he nor anyone else can eat from a shechita. V'harei zu, and here's the key line, krova l'safek nevela. It's almost a safek nevela. Meaning it's not nevela. We can't say it's vada nevela. He did a shechita. It could be that it's a kosher shechita, but it could also be that it's not a kosher shechita. So it's krova l'safek nevela. So that's what the Achronim point out in the Rambam, that it's not even safek nevela. Mikra din, the shechita is not safek nevela because rov shechitos are misukanos. Rov shechitos work out just fine. So that's what the Prima Gadol, the Chachma Sadlam point out, is apparently the Shita of the Rambam, and it sounds that way in the Rashba as well, that the Rashba writes that a butcher who doesn't know Hilchos Shechita is having a gadol omer al gabav is very helpful because rov ma'asav misukana. Most of the time, everything's going to work out just fine. However, the Taz very clearly disagrees with this Rambam because the Taz writes in 2 places seemingly that such a shechita is vaday possible. It's vaday nevela. One place in Yordeya Simul Chav Ches, the Taz writes that a gadol sheshachat ven yodeh Hilchos Shechita. Pater mikisei adam. Now, if it was a suffix, whether it was a kasher shechita, why would you say that you're pater from kisei adam? You would say, okay, maybe don't make a bracha on the kisei adam, but you should still do it. You should still suffix l'chumra. No, pater mikisei adam. And also the Taz in Yordea Simen Tes Zayin Sivkat Yud Gimel writes that if a person doesn't know hilchos shechita and he shechts the mother, he's not allowed. He's permitted to shecht the child, the offspring of that animal that he shechted that same day. Even though there's an issur of also espina, but that's only when you did a shechita of the mother, you're not allowed to shecht bina. But over here, you didn't know hilchos shechita, so it's mutter to shecht the offspring. So the Achronim say that that's obviously against the Rambam because it's not rov ma'aseh mesukanim. We assume that he mamish doesn't, that the shechita is mamish going to be possible. Ve'eluin hilchos shechita, what are these hilchos shechita? Shehiya darsa chalada hagrama v'ikur. Those are the hilchos shechita. Shehiya, the Rambam writes in the third paragraph of hilchos shechita, is that you begin to shecht, then you lift your hand before you finish the shechita, and you wait, and then you go back to finish the shechita. That's what we're going to see in Mishnah Daflam Beis Amarav, Machlokas, how long you have to wait to pasul the shechita, but that's shehiya. Darsa, the Rambam writes, is you cut with a knife on the neck the way you would chop, as opposed to a slicing motion. You push down instead of slicing with the sharpness of the knife. Chalada, there are a couple of ways to do chalada. One is that you stick the knife in the neck of the animal between one simen and the other, and then you shecht one simen of the animal in that way, or you stick the knife in the neck of the animal under both simanim, and you cut milamata lamaila. You cut in an upward motion as opposed to in a downward motion. That would be chalada. Hagrama, there are 2 different perushim. Rashi says it means hachra'a v'hataya, that the shechita is possible when you tilt the knife and you shecht outside of the space on the neck that's kosher for the shechita, meaning there's a certain space along the length of the neck that's kosher to the shechita, but you slide the knife off of that location, and that would be a violation of this psul of hagrama. The Reim and the Rav Yah say it's a lashon of gram hamalos, that it's a place, it's like a step up. So by shechita, the knife goes up, and it goes up beyond the makom that's kosher for shechita. So the machlokas is not what it is; it's just what the word is based on, what the source of the word is. But either way, it means that you go outside of the area of the neck that's kosher for shechita. That's the misconception that people have, that why we don't shech giraffe. That people assume that we can't shech the giraffe because we're always going to be a chashash hagrama. We're going to be in the wrong spot on the neck of the animal. That's not true. We know exactly where the spot is, and it's quite large actually. That you can on a giraffe, where you can find. It's just that it's not worth it. They cost like a lot of money, and the meat's not particularly good. They're very muscular animals, but there's no problem with being able to do the shechita. And other than holding the thing down, they're very, very strong. But then you have ikur. Ikur is a major machlokas rishonim. What ikur is? Several different shitos in rishonim. Okay, maybe we'll get to that at a different time. Says Mar Mai Kamashmalan Kulu Tanina. What's the great chiddush that these are the psulei shechita? We already know all of these things. So lo tzricha sheshach lefaneinu beis v'gimel pa'amim v'shachat shapir. Now we're talking about a case where a guy shechted two or three times and he seemed to have gotten it right. He seemed to have done a good job. Ma'od detema midi'idach shachat shapir hainami shachat shapir. So you might say, well, if he lucked into getting it right the past few times, even though he doesn't know anything, maybe he got it right this time also. So kamashmalan kivin delo gamar zimnu d'shay v'dar sulo yada. No, that's why you have to be told that it's important that he knows these things, because if he doesn't know it, then he wouldn't know when he messed up. You have to know if you didn't do it properly. Va'amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, second statement of Rav Yehuda Shmuel, ha'tabach tzorich sheyivdok v'simanim lachar shechita. The shochet has to check the simanim after shechita to see that he cut them properly. Amar Rav Yosef, avin anami tanina. Rav Shimon Amar imsha k'day bikur. That what's shehia? Shehia is the sheer shehia is k'day bikur. The amount of time it takes to examine. What do you mean examine? My lav k'day bikur simanim. Isn't it the amount of time that it takes to check the simanim? And we use that as a barometer, because that is that's the measuring stick, because that is a common thing that has to be done. So don't you see clearly that you have to shech the simanim? I'm not by law, and that's not right at all. Hachem Rabbi Yochanan k'day bikur chacham. K'day bikur doesn't mean k'day bikur simanim; it means k'day bikur chacham. This is a reference to a different halacha. Rashi points out, livdo kasakin shatavach tzarich laharos asakin lechacham eir mipnei kvod hachacham. One of the things that they instituted to honor the chacham eir is if the chacham walks into the shachta, all the shochtim give him the knife to check the knife, that the chacham checks the knife. So however long it takes for the chacham to check the knife, that's the k'day bikur. Says the Gemara, but wait a second, that could take vastly different amounts of time. Depends how far you are from the chacham. If the chacham is right next door, it will take a certain amount of time. If he lives across town, it will take a longer time to get to the chacham. Ela k'day bikur taba chacham. No, it means if the butcher himself is a chacham and he himself is going to check his own knife, it means the amount of time that it takes to actually do the checking of the knife, not the amount of time it takes to find the chacham to then give the knife to check. See, Tos points out, L'chore, that's also inside the Rechel Shirim. How big is your knife? Right? You can have different shechita knives of different sizes. So Tos points out, yeah, but there is a shear of how big a knife has to be. So the halacha is that if the knife is twice the length of the knife is twice the width of the animal's neck, so that's the proper shear of the knife. So that's the shear k'day bikur, the amount of time that it would take to test the knife. That's the proper shear. Lo badak mai. What if you didn't do the bedika? So Reb Lazar and Tignus Mishum Reb Lazar Rabbi Yane Amar, meaning you didn't check the simanim afterwards to see that they were shechted properly. So Reb Lazar and Tignus Mishum Reb Lazar Rabbi Yane Amar treifa vasu. So then it's considered a trefa, and it's usher to eat the animal. Even though l'chara trefa means that the animal is sick, the animal is ill, this has nothing to do with whether you check the simanim or not. L'chara should be a nevela. If you killed it without checking it properly, it should be a nevela, not a trefa. But nevertheless, we're only going to say it's usher b'achila, not that it has tumas nevela. Tos points out, mishum deropa, mishochet shapir, v'shari midaraisa, loch mir lasos nevela. Because really, we are cognizant of the fact that probably he did a proper shechita. So probably on a daraisa level, it's really kosher. So we're not going to be so machmir to mamash treat it like a nevela. We're just going to say, don't eat it, because you don't want to take chances. Masnisa Tana Nevela Umetama Bimasa. No, but there's a price that tells us we go even further, that it's a Nevela and it's Metame Bimasa. So Bemaika Miflugi, what's the Nekudas HaMachlokas, whether it's only a trefor, it's even a Nevela? But Ravuna Damar Behema Bechayeha Becheskas Isra Medes Ad Sheodel Chabeman Nishchuta. That a Behema, while it's alive, is assumed to be Becheskas Isser until you have clarity on how it died in a proper, with a proper shechita. Only then is the cheskas iser removed. Why is it cheskas iser when it's alive? Because there's an iser of Eivir Menachai. So if you have a suffix in the shechita and you want to bring it back, this animal back to its chazaka, its original chazaka was a cheskas iser. So nishchita, but once it's already shechted, harei becheskas heter ad sheyodei lecha b'men nitrufa. Then you assume that it's becheskas heter unless you know that it was a trefa. So Mar Savar Becheskas Isser Kaima Vahashta Mesahi. And one says that it's Becheskas Isser, and now it's dead. Umar Savar Becheskas Isser Aminon Becheskas Tuma Lo Aminon. And the other one says, no, no. We'll say it's Becheskas Isser, but it's not Becheskas Tuma. Meaning the previous Chazaka Rana Zevir Menachai was not that it should be Metame B'masa. So the two opinions are, first Shita says it's Becheskas Isser, and that Chazaka was never changed, and now it's dead, and an animal that's dead without a proven Shchita is a Nevela, and therefore it's Metamek in Nevela. And the other opinion says, no, go back to what the Chazaka was. The Chazaka was that it was Asur. The Chazaka was not that it was Tame. A live animal cannot be Tame. An animal can only become Tame. We call him an animal behema tameya, but that just means when the Torah says behema tameya, means a non-kosher species. But actual ritual impurity can't happen to a live animal. That only happens once it's dead. So gufa, amrav huna. Behem b'chayeh b'cheskas iser omedes. A behema while it's alive is assumed to be b'cheskas iser. Ad sheyodei lecha b'men nishchuta. Until you know how it was shechted. Nishchuta b'cheskas heter omedes. Once it's shechted, we assume it's b'cheskas heter. Ad sheyodei lecha b'men nitrufa. Unless you can explain what the trefa is. V'lema nishchuta hutra. Why don't we just say that if it was nishchuta, so then it's hutra. Instead of relying on lashon of chazaka. Chazaka implies that there's some sort of suffix, the hemel al chazkaso. So hakamashma. No, we're saying that even though there's some reyusa that appears that makes us a little suspicious, like Rabbi Abba raised the shayla from Rav Huna, what if a ze'ev were to come and take the intestines of this animal? So we don't know. We don't know exactly what happened over here. So can we rely that the animal is not a trefa? Oh, that's where chazaka comes into play. Says Gemara, a ze'ev came and took the intestines, natal, then they're not here. What's the reyusa? Meaning a reyusa means that you see something that's suspicious that leads you to believe that there was a trefa. If you just don't have the intestines, what did you see that leads you to believe that it's a trefa? Ela nakav b'nei me'ayim mahu. No, there's a hole in the b'nei me'ayim which would make it a trefa, and the ze'ev made that hole. So says Mar, well nakav hakachzina dehuna gvinu. If you saw that the ze'ev is what made that hole, then what are you worried about? Because you know that happened after the shechita. Now ela natlan v'chziran k'shein nekuvan mahu. You didn't see that the ze'ev made the hole. What the ze'ev did was he took away the b'nei me'ayim, and then he comes back and brings back the b'nei me'ayim, and it has a hole in it. Mi chashin Hashem makom nekav nakav alo. Are we choshesh that maybe the tooth mark of the ze'ev was on a place that already had a hole from before, and therefore the animal was already a trefa for it? Do you say, no, you're not going to be choshesh for that. We assume that whatever holes are there were just made by the ze'ev right now, after the shechita. Samalei, ein choshen shem makom nekav nakav. We do not assume that there was a pre-existing hole in that spot that it was already a trefa. Say, says Mara, really? We're not choshesh for such things? But we said as follows, ra'at sipor amenakar b'te'ena. You see a bird pecking around in a fig, the achbar aminakar b'avatichim, or you see an achbar that's pecking around or biting around in avatichim, in watermelons. Choshen shem makom nekev nakav. We have to be choshesh that where he is biting, it's already a place that had a hole in it. What do you mean? There's no trefos by fruits. What's this about? Shem makom nekev says Rashi shal nachash nakav va'asr mishum sakonas nefashos. That if a nachash got to the fruit first, that
that fruit is asr mishum sakanas nefashos. You have to be choshesh that there's some sort of venom in the fruit that's going to kill you. So an achbar, it's not dangerous if the achbar was biting around the fruit. It's not dangerous if you have a tzipar biting around in the fruit. So you would still be allowed to eat it. I mean, it's a very modern sensibilities would tell us probably not that we wouldn't eat such a thing. But there was, considering the conditions, in those times, people would eat such things. But if there was a concern that a nachash got to it, they would never eat such a thing. So I'm like, mikam adam sisur l'sakanta. What you're trying to bring a raya that over there by sakana we're choshesh that maybe where the achbar is biting around, the nachash has already been there. So you're trying to bring a raya that the same is true when it comes to hilchos trefos, that maybe where you see a hole was made by the ze'ev, there already was a hole there previously. Now, one is an issue of sakana, one is an issue of halacha. We're always more machmir, sakana shiny. Sakana is always different than halacha. We're always going to be more machmir when it comes to sakana. The Chassam Sofer explains, because if you end up guessing wrong in terms of halacha, but you followed a rove, so even if you guessed wrong, you did 100% correct la halacha. You did nothing wrong. But if you guess wrong on sakana, dead is dead. You'll still be dead. It's not going to help. That's why we're more machmir on sakana, because halacha expects that we follow rules. Sakana deals with the reality of potentially dying from doing dangerous things. So Rava, Maishna, Safik Sakanta L'chumra, Safik Yisur Nami L'chumra. What do you mean? Why is Sakana different than Isur? We say Safik Yisur L'chumra, Safik Daraisa L'chumra, and Safik Sakana L'chumra. Aren't they the same? Amalei Abayi says, no, V'lo Shaini Ben Yisur L'Sakanta. You don't see a difference in Halacha between Isur and Sakana? I'll demonstrate the difference. V'ilu Safik Tumah B'Rishos HaRabim, Sveiko Tahar. If you have a Safik Tumah in Rishos HaRabim, the Halacha is that it's Tahar. V'ilu Safik Mayim Megula Asurin. But if you have suffix about Mayim Megulim, water that was left exposed that a Nachash might have gotten to, so we assume that it's Asir. So don't you see that there's a difference? Don't bring me a raya from Safik Tumah B'Rishos HaRabim. That's not the rule. That's an exception to the rule. Normally, Safik Yisur is L'chumra. Safik Tumah B'Rishos HaRabim, we happen to derive from the parsha of Sota, that Ma Sota B'Rishos Yachid, Af Tumah B'Rishos Yachid, that just like Sota is an issue that comes up in Rishos Yachid, and we don't know what happened behind closed doors with this woman and the man that she was accused of being with, but we're Machmir Misafik. She's Asur Labayla, she's Asur to this man until she's cleared up by drinking the May Sota. So since the Torah refers to Sota as Tumah, even though it has nothing to do with ritual impurity, so Chazal Darshan in Mesecha Sota that it must be that the Torah is trying to hint to us that we should treat Hilchos Tumah in a similar way to the way we treat Hilchos Sota, that when the Safek comes up in Rosh HaSayachid we should be Machmir, and when the Safek comes up in Rosh HaSarabim we could be Mekel, that we could assume that it's Tahar. So you can't bring me a raya from Safik Tumah B'Rosh HaSarabim. So Mas Rav Simi Sheretz B'fi Chulda V'chulda Ma'alechas Al Pi Kikara Shel Truma. Let's say you have a Chulda, a weasel that has a sheretz in its mouth. Now the sheretz is metame. The chulda is not metame. And this chulda is skipping along, running along truma bread. But you don't know, safik naga, safik lo naga. Did the sheretz actually touch the truma bread? The chulda is not metame anything. But the sheretz in its mouth, if it touched that truma bread, is going to be metame it and therefore ruin it. Sveiko tahar. Such a safik we assume tahar. If you have a safik mayim megulin asurin. And yet the halach is, if you have a safik of mayim megulin, which is the safik of sakana, that's going to be asur. So don't you see that we're more machmir by safik sakana than we are by sveikos relating to ritual law, in this case relating to tumen tahara? Says Gemara, hasum nami hilso gemiri lami sota. You can't bring rayas from the cases of safik tuma. That's all derived from sota. It's a special exception. Ma sota davar sheish modasli sha'el, af hachanami davar sheish modasli sha'el. That when are we going to be machmir mi safik, even in Rosh HaSayachid? Only when you're dealing with safik relating to someone who you can ask about it, and that meaning a person who can be asked about it. But when you're dealing with a chulda and you're dealing with a kikar and there is no human being to ask about it, so then we would not be machmir misafik. So all of this is derived from the halacha of sota. The Ramban is mechadesh that even safek from Bereshus Rabim Tahar and even Bereshus Yachid when it's saying Bodas Lishal, but if these sfekos happen like Gabi Truma and Kachim, they become possible for a different reason. Meaning, even though they're not Tameh per se, but the Ramban points out that by Truma and Kachim there's a different requirement, a requirement of Shimur. And lack of Shimur is automatically going, lack of a Shmira is automatically going to possible them. So that may be a different issue outside of the issue of safek. Also, Tosos over here writes that when you have a chazakah to be metaher, you don't need to derive from sota. That's safek tum rishus rabim is tahar. We're metaher means safek tum rishus rabim because of the chazakah. It's only when there's no chazakah to be metaher that we need to rely on sota. So Tosos raises the question, you know, in our sugya, we're talking about where there is a chazakah. There's b'nei me'ayim of the behema, that's shechted ka'alacha. So it's b'cheskas heter omedes. And safek tum rishus rabim is there's a cheskas tahara. So why does Rava say that we learn this din from the din of a sota? So Tos says, since Rava holds that by safek iser we don't follow the chazaka, it says if there's no chazaka and you need to learn from sota, it's only by tuma that sveka tara brishos harabin, and we don't learn to be makel by shari surim. But according to the maskana of the sugya that we're somich on chazaka to be matir safek iser when there's a chazaka lahatir, you don't need to learn it from sota because we could just rely on that chazaka. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rav Ashi Tashma, the third raya about Safek Tumah versus Safek Sakana.